You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire.
New Zealand's housing shortage has put a strain on renter and landlord relationships for decades.
Yeah, absolutely not. I think it's gaslighting, to be honest. The idea that making evictions easier could possibly be good for renters in any context is just categorically untrue. It takes what I would like to call mental gymnastics to try and demonstrate it. I think in our context as well, whenever we've got a housing crisis, which is really underpinned by the fact that we just don't have enough housing, making it easier to evict tenants doesn't increase our rental supply and doesn't make anything better for anyone. And the idea that it would encourage landlords to rent out to people who they might not otherwise rent out to is also a bit absurd. Again, going back to the supply and demand issue, right? Like, there's no need to take risks on tenants that you don't want to let to because there's so many other tenants who need homes. In conjunction with National's policy to make it easier to evict hiring or stay housing tenants, these two policies together are really just a fast track to children growing up in cars and to increasing homelessness.
What are the current regulations and rules in place to protect tenants?
So right now, basically, the long and short of it is basically that you have to be able to provide a reason to evict someone, and the list of reasons why you can evict someone are actually quite extensive already. So all the sort of things that you'd probably think make common sense evicting someone are already in place. So for example, if a tenant engages in violent or antisocial behaviour, if they go too far in arrears in rent, there's already rules in place that allow them to be evicted. And their existing rules are already really weighted towards the idea of housing as property rather than as a human right or a necessity. For example, one of the existing rules is that if a landlord has family that want to move into the property, they can evict a tenant for that. I don't personally don't think someone should lose their home because their landlord's cousin comes back from the OE early. But it just really illustrates that the rules around evictions are already really weighted towards landlords rather than tenants. And again, giving the power to evict tenants arbitrarily just allows landlords to hide the reason. And again, empowers discrimination, empowers retaliation. And especially in a housing crisis, it really incentivizes evicting for profit. So right now, there are rules around how much you can increase rent by while you're in a tenancy. The rules are quite like loose and are not really enforced very well, but there are rules. But there are no rules around how much you can increase rent by between tenancies. So, for example, you've got a granny who's lived in her flat for 20 years, and the rent increases have been sort of correlation with super. Suddenly, the landlord decides he wants to make an extra $100 per week that she can't afford. He can now evict her, rent it to someone else who can pay a little bit more. So it really enables and again incentivizes evictions for profit.
And I actually wanted to ask you a little bit about rent caps because you wrote about them in a spin-off article that you authored, and the Green Party has also proposed rental caps. So basically what I wanted to ask is, what are the benefits of having a rental cap on how much rent can increase, and are there any global examples of the benefits of rental caps?
Yeah. So rent control is probably the best tool that we have to address the effects of the cost of living crisis and housing. It's the best tool that we have to really ensure that the housing market, especially for renters, remains equitable. So rent control is pretty simple. There's lots of different versions of it, but basically it involves capping rent increases to a certain percentage. The one that we advocate for is basically we want to tie it to CPI. Basically the idea being that you can't increase rent by more than CPI within a year, unless there's a really significant improvement to the property made. And within that, there's the caveat where if you're making the property meet bare minimum standards, you don't get to increase it. For example, if you've got a home that isn't healthy homes compliant, you make a healthy homes compliant, you don't get to raise the rent above our rent control for that. It's a really powerful tool. It's really useful, but it's quite like, it does involve, you have to do a bunch of things with it. So for example, you need to make sure all rentals have it applied to. You have to make sure that you're building lots of housing while doing it. But realistically, if we look overseas, there are lots of examples of it working, and there's lots of examples of it not working. So from that, we can really take a lot of lessons for the New Zealand context and in how we do it correctly. And again, so it comes in with a bunch of extra caveats, which does make it a little bit more complex, but it does mean that we end up with quite a reasonable, equitable, and fair for everyone solution. Realistically, we have a housing crisis, right? Quite demonstrably. renters are being let down by the market itself. Supply and demand has led to us not having enough housing, paying more than we can afford. While we're waiting for more housing to be built, rent control is the best tool that we have to really alleviate suffering right now.
With the upcoming election, I just wanted to pivot for this final question and ask a little bit about the work that you guys have been doing. So you've released scorecards for each of the parties. So based on the scorecards that you've released on policy that they've released so far, the Green Party would get an A, the Te Pāti Māori would get an A-, Labour would get a B, the Opportunities Party a C, National an F, ACT an F. So I wanted to ask, broadly speaking, what policy was the most effective in terms of getting better scorecards for the parties, and where do you want to see policy improve around housing in the lead up to this election?
Yeah, so in the score, it's affecting the scorecards as well, but we sort of have four key pillars in how we talk about housing. So if we want to fix renting, which is what we want to do, we take approaches around stable homes, that's the security of tenure, fair rent, meaningful enforcement of standards that we already have, like healthy homes, and also making sure our homes are safe and healthy. That's how we evaluate policy, so we compare parties' policies against that. So we look at those parties, basically a really short summary is that the Te Pāti Māori and the Green Party are really clear leaders in rental policy and selection. Labour have done a bunch of really cool things. They've built lots of housing, healthy home standards, but realistically they're not actually offering very much for renters this election, nothing that would really make our lives a lot better, and so there's kind of balance there. The Opportunities Party don't have policies and everything that we'd like them to. They do have some potentially helpful policies around reducing rent prices, but we don't think they provide enough evidence on them. National Act have really, really clearly just decided not to be concerned with renters this election, which is quite an absurd thing to do. You know, we are 30% of the population. So there's a bunch of reasons why they've gotten that those Fs, but the really key one is no cause evictions. Like I said earlier, they really do undermine every other single right that we have as renters. And to be honest, like, if a party wants to bring back no cause evictions, they're going to get no support from us. These own firsts aren't rated on the scorecard because they don't have enough policy on housing at this stage, but we'll update it if anything does change around that. And then all the other parties we aren't really concerned about because I'm not sure they'll get into Parliament. But again, the key thing is that we really want housing policy is often quite technocratic, it's quite complex. We're doing the work for renters so that renters are aware of what their choices mean. You know, we'd never behest to tell anyone how to vote. But the really key thing is to condense really complex and quite often presented quite misleadingly policy into what we think will be best and worst for renters, and making sure renters are as informed as possible. Like when we talk about, like, you know, Chris Bishop trying to spin no cause evictions to pro-renter move. There is quite a lot of spin. There's quite a lot of desire to mislead people. But one thing that we're really clear on is that renters are the best place to say what's best for renters.
That was Evan O'Shea from Renters United discussing no cause evictions and their party scorecards.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.